I'm Kate Shelton Bailey. I welcome you to the PMRC radio program for today. And joining me in the studios, I have Michel Ovalia. He's a senior researcher from PMRC. It's good having you on the program. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm very fine, thank you, Kesha. Thank you for having us as well.
Okay, so today we are talking about, you know, the National Health Insurance Scheme. So could you just start by running us through what is the National Health Insurance Scheme?
Thank you, Kesha. Well, the National Health Insurance Scheme is coming out of the National Health Insurance Bill that is currently at committee stage in Parliament, which proposes to basically introduce a health insurance scheme that covers the entire national population. The aim is basically to cover the national population against the cost of health care, and the main goal basically is to try to reduce the financial risk by limiting the need for out-of-pocket payments for health services. So this will work similar to how your private health schemes work, except it will be national. So meaning there's the reduction in out-of-pocket payments. When you need to access health services, it means you don't need to actually fork out money. There's a basic cover that will be given to all citizens. So this is basically what the National Health Bill is proposing, and this is what a National Health Insurance Scheme will look like once implemented.
Yeah, Michelle, there's been a lot of debate surrounding this. What are the functions of the scheme?
Okay, so when you look at the bill, one of the issues that is contained within the bill is to create or establish a fund management. So this fund management basically will be known as the National Health Insurance Management Authority, which will have functions of managing, implementing and operating this particular scheme. It will also be responsible for handling contributions and payments, and also one of the things that it will also be responsible for is accreditation. So when you look at this particular authority, it will operate similar to the way you have your NAPSA working with the retirement scheme or the pension scheme. When you talk about accreditation in terms of a function, what you'd understand is that this health scheme, of course, will cover both private and public health care givers. These are hospitals or clinics. But the accreditation process will mean those that are in the private sector in terms of health care giving or health care provision will have to be accredited. So meaning the standards will have to be regulated. You're looking at how the quality of service also will need to be regulated. One issue that you also find that is a bit of a challenge when you look at the private health care givers is the price. You find pricing is a bit high for certain services. The pricing is quite high, and so what basically happens then is there will be some sort of regulation to just ensure that the standard pricing across the board, so that healthcare services become more affordable under the scheme.
Okay. Now, you know, when it comes to contributions, how is this going to go around? You know, for those that are probably wondering as how this is going to be done.
Okay, so basically when you look at the contributions, one of the models that is being used firstly is a solidarity model. So you have contributions being made, and these contributions are aimed at initially covering the entire nation. So you have the entire population. Of course, there are three types currently that are under the bill in terms of contributions. One of them, firstly, will be the one that will be looking at those that are in formal employment. Contributions are expected to be made. These contributions are made in parts. The bill is not very specific because these are dependent on negotiations. So one will have the employer making a contribution and the employee also making a contribution. Then you also have managers of pension schemes also contributing on behalf of retirees. And then also mechanisms will be set in place to also ensure that those that are self-employed, the self-employed citizens, quite a number of citizens that are running their own businesses also will have a mechanism in which they can actually contribute towards this scheme.
Right. In case you've just joined us, you're listening in to the PMRC radio program, and we're looking at the National Health Insurance Scheme with Mr. Lobwalia, his senior researcher. And now, are there any exemptions, you know, for contributions to the scheme?
Of course. Thank you, Cassius. So under the bill, one of the proposals is to exempt three categories of individuals. There is also extension for the minister to identify groups in terms of sections of society that may also be exempt. But outrightly speaking, it's those that have mental and physical challenges are unable to work. Those are exempted from making contributions towards the scheme. We also have elderly persons, and the age limit is all those that are above the age of 70 are also exempt from making these contributions. So you understand that with the current scales of the retirement age going up to 65, you only have an individual contributing for 5 years, and then after that, when they turn 70, they become exempt. Again, we also have a classification of individuals that are defined as incapacitated by the ministry responsible for social development or community development and social welfare. So currently you'd have individuals that are under the social cash transfer scheme, all those that are benefiting from the various social welfare schemes, all those individuals are also exempt from making contributions to the scheme, but will still be covered by the scheme.
Right. So now, you know, there could be some people that are, they could be apprehensive to this scheme, you know. Could you just run us through, you know, the benefits of this scheme that we are talking about?
Okay. Thank you, Kesha. So what you look at basically when you are talking about the biggest benefits from this scheme is that you find that when you look at accessing health, be it healthcare services, be it public or private, what you find is you always find costs that will need to come out of your pocket. These are varying. Some of them are financial, others are non-financial. So you'll be looking at certain costs, such as maybe transport costs to and from the healthcare, the place of healthcare provision. There are certain tests that might be required. Despite the removal of user fees, there are still certain costs when you go to access a public healthcare services. There are still certain costs that you need to pay for. Investigations, all these will be done. And you find that some of these costs are sort of a barrier towards accessing healthcare. You notice that we actually have cases of individuals that choose to self-diagnose because they do not want to pay for some of these services. An individual who has a headache, who have some of the common symptoms in terms of the common sicknesses, a flu, you'd have a running stomach, and you decide, because you do not want to incur those costs, you'd stay away. So one of the things that you'd find is that access to health care reduces. But with the national scheme, a package of courses negotiated that allows you to access certain benefits without the requirement of out-of-pocket payment. So that means you definitely see some of those barriers or perceived barriers to accessing health are definitely removed. So that's one of the benefits in terms of the National Health Insurance Scheme. The others you'll be looking at are improved care of provision. So you find that one of the challenges that healthcare service provision faces, especially when you talk about public healthcare provision, overburdened. The system is overburdened. You'd look at shortages in terms of staff, equipment. You'd have to wait you'd have to wait quite a bit before you are attended to. Now, one of the issues is that with the National Insurance Scheme, you would have a system of pooling funds. So funds will be readily available, and these, of course, will contribute or bulk up to the already available funds. We do have funding available already under the healthcare. These are grants that are given to various hospitals. Now, these funds that will be coming in from the insurance will be used to bulk up the healthcare system. So what you definitely get to see is improvements in terms of healthcare provisions. That is also an increase in health personnel and improvements in terms of the quality that is offered, because, of course, quality healthcare service cannot be provided minus the availability of financing. So an improved financing and a sustainable financing model, such as the National Insurance Scheme, would obviously translate into better quality services. Another thing is obviously another benefit is improved healthcare infrastructure. So you find that going outside Lusaka, the number of hospitals available significantly reduces. Most of these are stationed around either provincial centers or places that have high economic activity. So what you find is that with the health insurance system, one of the advantages for the private sector, like I earlier mentioned, is there are opportunities to come in and provide health. Once this health is provided, the payments, of course, will be done by the scheme. So the payments will be done by the fund management. So there are opportunities for now the private sector to move in and provide some of this health care. Move in because be accredited, of course, and then be able to provide the health care. So what you then see is improvements in infrastructure, a number of hospitals obviously improving, and also reduction in terms of the burden on the public health care system. So the private sector will be coming on board to provide some of these services, and you see a reduced burden in terms of health care provision.
Obviously, Ms. Hello, you know, you are a senior researcher yourself. I'm sure you've done your groundwork and you've made certain recommendations. Yes. What recommendations does your organization, you know, have towards the NHI?
When we look at some of the recommendations that we've made as an organization, one of them, obviously, is we're encouraging the public to take an interest. There's a lot of debate that's going on, but we're also encouraging the public to take an interest and try to find out more information. The public health bill is available on our website, on our Facebook page, PMRC Zambia. It's available, but it's also available on the National Assembly website. You can easily download it. It's a PDF. It's about 30 pages, so a very complicated document. We're encouraging, as debates go on in Parliament, for the general citizen to take an interest, find this document, get the conversation going, and try to understand the contents of this document and appreciate really what the bill intends to do. Other recommendations that we've made, of course, are that once the bill is being implemented, once it's going through the Act and you actually have the scheme being implemented, one of the issues that needs to be done is to put in place mechanisms that ensure that once individuals are contributing, as you understand, cases, when individuals begin to contribute, obviously the expectation is that they need to access the services that they are making the contributions for. So one of them is to put in place mechanisms that ensure that adequate number of health personnel is put in place, mm-hmm. and also adequate facilities. And these are various medical facilities, specialized medical equipment. These also need to be done. So adequate measures need to be put in place to ensure that that is done. The other is also on the payment system. Now, when you look at the payment system, challenges have been experienced. Even when you look at private health insurance givers, you'd find that those that are on medical insurance, that is a private one, when you access health care and you access it from these hospitals and your insurance is not paying, you then find individuals being turned away. That is happening. There are quite a number of cases just within the private health care givers. So one of them, one of our recommendations is to put in place a mechanism that ensures that prompt payments are made to these accredited institutions, accredited health care givers. These are both public and private, to remunerate them for the services that are being provided. That will ensure also that the quality and the time, of course, at which the service delivery is done is quite prompt. Then, of course, the final one is to put in place a monitoring and evaluation mechanism. This basically, Keshas, will look at trying to see the rate of service. As you understand, this national insurance scheme will work across the board. So the monitoring needs to be done for all healthcare providers that have been accredited to the scheme. So it's monitoring the quality of service that is being done, the operations, we are reviewing them also, and also monitoring the prices, prescriptions, and other regulations that will ensure that our quality of health is improved, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to provisions.
Right, I would like to thank you, you know, for giving us an insight on the National Health Insurance Scheme. Unless you have something else probably that you'd like to say as we wind up?
Okay, the last thing that I would just encourage the general public is to continue, I think, engaging. And like I said, awareness, I think, is is a key issue. Mm-hmm. I take an interest in reading the bill. It's readily available. People should be encouraged to download it, share it on social media. I think nowadays a lot of social media platforms actually support the ability to share documents. You have your WhatsApp, your Facebook, and also engage various individuals. Our organization is also available to be engaged in. The public are free to walk into our organization, interact with us via social media, and even physically via email. We have a page, we have a website, www.pmrczambia.com. Go there and get materials and also engage. I think the important thing would be to get as much awareness out there as possible so that individuals are able to understand what the bill is proposing, when it comes into effect, what they can also expect in terms of the contributions, in terms of also the services that they expect to get once the scheme has been put into implementation.
Ms. Elo, I would like to thank you so very much for finding the time to come through for this, you know, particular program. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you for hosting us, Keshav.
I was talking to Ms. Elo Bualia, senior researcher from PMRC, and today we were discussing the National Health Insurance Scheme. Until next time around, it's bye for now.